When Mary and I used to live in the Chicago, Illinois area, we were members at a little teeny church, Palatine Bible Church, out in the northwest suburbs. Every month, our church took a small team to one of the inner city rescue missions downtown Chicago. I've got pretty vivid memories of those visits to this very day. Usually, I'd help out somehow in music because music is my background. And our pastor, Bob Murphy, would bring a gospel message to those who were in the couple of rescue missions that we worked out. What stood out to me in the old Pacific Garden Mission, right down, just on the south side of downtown Chicago, a little ways, was all the prayer that went up right before we went out for the service. We would gather on our knees in a little side room with these, well, they used to be really old. They're only kind of old now because I'm more mature. But anyway, with these dear old brothers, we would get down on our knees in there, and the prayers that went up for these folks coming in to the rescue mission that needed help were really, really great. And one of the things that absolutely stuck in my mind was there was a dear, quite old man who sometimes filled in on piano when we needed help. When anybody needed help, he was always available with the great hymns. He would always lead us in the chorus of the old hymn, "Rescue the Perishing," and it made such a difference and just set the tone for the service. This week we start our fourth installment in our Experience Hymn project. Today we're taking a look at what God's Word says in experiencing Him, experiencing God as we reach out to the lost. I can tell you from personal experience that getting the Word of Jesus gospel out is scary to most people. It may be scary to most of us as well. It's a ministry that back in the day I was afraid. I was really afraid when we went to share the gospel in rescue missions. It was kind of a semi-terrifying event for me. Not most people, when they have a picture in their minds of an evangelist that doesn't resemble their own face. They have a picture of an evangelist that doesn't look like them. So if you close your eyes, you probably see somebody like Billy Graham, Luis Palau, somebody you've heard preaching the gospel on TV, stadium preacher, like that. You see a professional, but you may very likely not see yourself. So I'm hoping that as we walk out of these doors today, as we go outside the safety of these four walls around us, that you'll be further along in seeing your own face when you see the face of an evangelist, because we are all called to reach out along our lines of connection, our lines of influence, the people that are around us, to reach out to the lost, to speak a word for Christ. So before we get into God's Word in Ephesians chapter 6, let's pray. Lord, we love you. We are glad for your word, the Bible. And as we open up these passages today, Lord, we pray that you would speak into our hearts, that you would convince us of what is true, that you would convince us of what we need to do because of what is true, and that you would work through us, Lord, to more effectively reach the lost people that are all around us in our community and beyond our community. And we say it in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen. What an important truth about outreach is that you can experience God breaking into your message. First point in your outline there, if you have one that you picked up in your bulletin, you can experience God breaking into your message. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 18. With all prayer and petition, the Apostle Paul writes, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Sounds like, according to Paul, that utterance word up there, is something that you can ask for. In fact, not only can you ask it for yourself, you can ask it for somebody else. You can ask God that He give someone or give you utterance. We're going to talk about that word a little bit more in a minute, but what I want to camp on is that verb may be given. See it up there? That utterance may be given to me. That is a passive Greek verb. That means the action is done to or for a recipient. That it may be given to me. In other words, you don't earn utterance. You can't go to school enough for it. You can't go to Sunday classes enough for it. You can't go to training sessions enough for this kind of a word. It's not something that, in fact, you generate out of your own mouth and out of your own mind. In other words, we can pray for each other that God will break in when we're sharing the truth about Jesus with lost people. Now, when you take a big word like utterance up there, it's not something that dairy farmers experience. Verse 19, it makes it seem like Paul is asking for something that is greater than, in fact, it really is. Actually, the word that is translated in this translation, utterance, is only the Greek word logos. It's the Greek word logos. In the beginning was the logos, and the logos was with God, and the logos was God. Verse 14 of John 1, and the logos came and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The word is logos. It simply means word. That pray for me that a word may be given to me. Paul is asking that the dear believers in the Ephesian church will pray to God on his behalf that he will be given a word, a simple message, a thought to share, a truthful communication from heaven to talk with people about. It's not a big, complicated, mapped out, 45-minute evangelistic sermon that he's talking about here. It seems verse 20 that somehow Paul, knowing the words he's speaking that come from God, they ignite in him a holy boldness to open his mouth and to let that word from God come out. Pray for me that I receive a word from God and that I speak boldly as I ought to speak. So, first time I ever had the sermon in a rescue mission. It was just off downtown Dallas. I got to tell you, I was real nervous. I mean, real. If I'm doing the singing, I'm good to go. I'm good to go on that stuff. I know a whole bunch of the great old hymns of the faith, and this particular rescue mission was filled with the great hymns of the faith. And so I'm up preaching for the very first time, and I was pretty on edge about it. In fact, I was probably sweating bullets back then, but God's people were praying. But God's people were praying. My sermon was John 3, 21 through 16. In other words, I went backwards. And so here I am. I stepped up to the pulpit. So Brother Sullivan, that was the name of the guy who was the head of the mission, Brother Sullivan's in the back of the room. He figures, okay, the singing is over. We've prayed. Now we're time for the sermon. He's going to slip out of the room. He's probably going to head back to see what's coming along back in the kitchen. And I stepped up to the pulpit of the rescue mission, and I said, the title of my sermon is Like a Bat Out of Hell. And Brother Sullivan walked back in the back door. He was a little bit concerned with that title, that I might go off someplace. Verse 19 of John chapter 3 says, men love darkness because their deeds are evil. And the running illustration was how a baby bat changes from being a fed infant to a hunting adult in just a few seconds. They at some time, they have to screw up their baby bat courage and let go and fly out into the twilight and become a hunter on their own. And so I encourage the people that they would release their hold in darkness and come to the light of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a rookie sermon. I mean, rookie sermon. But God's people were praying. God's people were praying, and eight people put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that night as their Savior. That's over and above my ability, I can tell you. It's over and above my ability. I bring my 5 loaves and my 2 fish. That's all I got. Except the people of God are praying, and God responds to that. That says to me that everybody in this room and anybody in this room can and will experience God breaking in when they are reaching out by the power of His message that has come to the lives of people. If you will proclaim the word that He gives. If you will do that with a holy boldness that comes to you, knowing that you've got God's word coming out of your mouth, He's going to give you the right words to say, even if you're stumbling and stuttering. Sometime I'll tell you about my worst evangelism moment of all time, but it won't be today. But remind me of that one. Say the word Fred to me sometime. Pray that the Lord will give us utterance. Pray that the Lord will give us a word, a simple word about the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? As we pray, He will. He will. It will happen just as soon as you open your mouth in the direction of people who need a Savior. God will give you a word. You too can experience God breaking through into your message. Second, you can experience God's peace under fire. You can experience God's peace under fire. Turn back to the left in your Bibles. If you have your Bibles open there to Acts chapter 8, beginning in verse 8. Acts chapter 6, beginning in verse 8. There we meet a man that most people believe was the first follower of Christ who died for his faith. Stephen is his name. He's a good man. He was a servant of the church in Jerusalem. He was selected by the people to carry out the benevolence, what part of the benevolence ministry of the church, and that was to make sure that the widows of the church had their portion of the food. This guy, Stephen, had a good reputation in the church. He was known to be filled with the Spirit of God, and he was wise. Acts chapter 6, beginning in verse 8. And Stephen, full of grace and power, was performing great signs and wonders among the people. But some men from what was called the synagogue of the freedmen, including both Cyrenians and Alexandrians and some from Cilicia and Asia, rose up and argued with Stephen. But they were unable to cope with the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. Then they secretly induced men to say, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God." And they stirred up the people, the elders and the scribes, and they came up to him and dragged him away and brought him before the council. They put forward false witnesses who said, "This man incessantly speaks against this holy place and the law, for we have heard him say that this Nazarene, Jesus, will destroy this place and alter the customs which Moses handed down to us." And fixing their gaze on him, all who were sitting in the council saw his face like the face of an angel. All who were sitting in the council saw Stephen's face like the face of an angel. The story goes on in Acts chapter 7 that Stephen proclaimed then a great message of the saving work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the midst of intense persecution, he experienced God's peace under fire. He experienced God's peace under fire. No one could rattle his nerve. No one could get him off message. Peace under fire is real and is available when you speak up for Christ. Peace under fire is real and available when you and I speak up for the Lord Jesus Christ. At the Pacific Garden Mission, one evening when we were down there, there was a young girl that came up to the pulpit. It was time for her to sing a solo. And talk about peace under fire. Teenage girl, young, sweet-looking kid. While she's singing her song, one guy got up and walked out. Another guy fell asleep in his chair and fell out onto the floor with all the crash, bang, boom. And another guy leaned over and barfed in the aisle. Face of an angel. Voice of an angel. Never missed a note. Never missed a word. Never bobbled at all. Absolutely enabled and given peace by the Lord. Everybody here this morning can and will experience God in reaching out, because as you do, as you step out, as you step forward for the Lord Jesus Christ, the peace of God rolls in. The peace of God rolls in. And if, like Peter, you experience fear and trembling, he says that a number of places in Scripture. If you experience fear and trembling in your outreach efforts like he did in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the first few verses, you see it right there. God will help you keep your message simple enough that you can handle it. He will give you a simple word. He'll give you a holy boldness beyond your fear and trembling. The peace of God will come to you. You will be able to get the words out of your mouth. It will happen. So whether it's at work, or at school, or at the gym, or at the park, or at your kids' ball games, out fishing, wherever it is, as you reach out in the name of Jesus, He will invade the conversation, He will give you a timely word, and He will touch you with peace in the line of fire. He will do that. Third and finally, out of Philippians chapter 2, Luke chapter 15, these verses endorse the fact that we can experience God's pleasure when we obey. You can experience God's pleasure in your obedience to say the words of the gospel. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12. So then, Paul writes, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Surely, certainly, absolutely, it is true that obeying in any area of your life makes God happy. It gives God pleasure when we obey. Well, guess what? We've been commissioned to reach out to lost people. And it gives Him pleasure when we obey. Luke chapter 15, verse 10. In the same way, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Joy in the presence of the angel of God over one sinner who repents. So whatever part you play in a person turning away from sin, whatever part you have in that brings God pleasure. It makes God happy. Every time you pray for the lost, you make God pleased. Every time you find a way to be a blessing to a lost person, it pleases God. It gives Him pleasure. Every time you open your mouth with a simple word from God, God smiles. Every time you invite a lost person into your home, and you should be inviting lost people into your home, or invite them to come to church, whether they come or not, you please God because you've been obedient. Every time you offer hospitality to a person in need, it makes God happy. Every time your faith holds up under pressure in ways that lost people notice, God likes that. He is pleased. It gives God pleasure. So when you're working on the team over at the snack shack, hang on. Need a little more polygrip today. No, I don't use polygrip yet. But if you're working over at the snack shack team, God likes that. God likes it. When you're working in our Awana Club, yeah, God likes that. It pleases Him. Or if you're being friendly to a fellow campers over at family camp, and we had folks out of our cluster that were in our campground walking over. There was a cluster of about four campers over in one corner of the campground. Folks from our group kept walking over there and just talking with them, and lo and behold, one of the older men over there, got two of the younger guys to bring him over to our church service on Sunday. Right? It's easy just to be friendly. God gives you a friendly word, a joyful expression on your face, an easy way of communicating, and it is attractive to people who need to hear about Him. And it pleases God. And if you were downstairs this past week hosting this Biking the U.S. for MS team that we kept here overnight, we fed them dinner that night. When you're helping out in ways like that, God likes that. It pleases Him, and you will sense His pleasure when you do that. Whenever you get involved in reaching lost people, at whatever stage, whatever level that you plug into somebody else's life who needs the Savior, you make God happy, you make God proud, you give God pleasure. And you can experience that when you obey. So these stories pretty much have been about rescue missions and about some of our Faith Bible Church ministries. But there are a whole lot more possibilities for you personally to get involved in getting the word out. You can become involved in a lot of different ways. The most strategic ones, believe me when I tell you, are right next door to where you live. The most strategic ways that you can outreach are with your neighbors. Now, the great old hymn, "We have a story to tell to the nations." We have a story to tell to the neighbors, too, folks. A story to tell to the neighbors. People right next door, people who live across the street, people across the aisle in a classroom for our students, people who are at work or watching your kids play out in the park. They are the lost ones that God marches right in front of you every day. You see them every day walking right in front of you. These are the ones where you open your mouth and your vocal cords will generate a word for Christ. It happens because the people of God pray to that end. So here's your assignment. Here's your personal walking orders today. Get your pens ready. I'm going to say it really fast, but I also printed it out. So if you don't get it all, I'm going to have it right up here after church. You can come and write down your assignment before you go. The starting place is prayer. Okay, so this week, here's why I ask you about your directories. This week, starting this week, I want you to pull your directories out. I want you to use your directory as a prayer guide. Okay? Number one, pray for three. Pray for three. In your church directory, first pray for three people that you are particularly drawn to. Doesn't matter where you start. You may want to start at the back and work forward. Start at the beginning and work back. Pull it open to the middle. Start, work to the end. Pray for anybody that's ornery, or you know, somebody that you don't like. You know, somebody, well, anyway, you'll know, God will tell you who needs your prayer. If you don't have a church directory, believe me, we can get you one. There may be some out in the rack out there. If not, get a hold of us this week sometime. Okay, so you're going to pray for three people that you're particularly drawn to, that God will give them a timely word, and that when He does, they will faithfully speak that word in the direction of a lost person. Right? It doesn't matter if God gives you timely word. If you don't open your mouth, it just swallows. It goes back into your head and doesn't get you in the heart. And that in doing so, they will experience God breaking into their conversation. Okay. Pray for three. Second step. Second day. Three others. Pray for three more that they will experience God's peace under fire and will realize at the moment it happens that God is giving them strength. Right? Pray that God they will experience God's peace under fire, and that they'll realize it is His strength that they are receiving. Day three. Don't worry, I've got these on a piece of paper. You can come get them. Day three. Pray for three more, that they will experience God's pleasure because they are involving their lives in the lives of a lost person, or two, or five. Pray that they will experience God's pleasure for their involvement with lost people. Ready for four? I'm going on to four. Pray, look around, look in the balcony. Pray for the empty spaces in our auditorium to be filled with people that we invite. That'd be lost people. That would be, I label them the lacks because it has an L in it. The lost, the lacks, that's people who need to get back into church, who haven't been going to church. Kathy Nelson, I need to see you right after church because there was a guy that came by this week. He said he used to go here a long time ago, and I think that you've been here since pretty early on, albeit as a child. And so let me see if you know this name right after church. A guy came to church, said, "Oh yeah, I used to go to church here a long time ago." I said, "Well, you know, there's a cure for that long time ago. Just like show up this week." So the lost, the lacks, and for new co-laborers to join us in the ministry of reaching out. I'd love to have more new folks coming in to help us, to get involved with us in the good that God is doing in and through our church. There's a lot of good that's going on at Faith Bible Church, folks. It'd be nice for other people to get to experience that joy with us as we reach out together for the Lord. And finally, on day five, so you do this 5 days a week, I'll give you Saturday and Sunday off, or Sunday, Monday, work it out. Finally, on day five, pray that we will see a growing number of lost people coming to faith in Jesus this year, in 2019 and beyond 2019, because of our individual and church-wide witness in our individual and church-wide outreach efforts. Pray that we'll see a growing number of lost people coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in the days ahead. And then, go back to the beginning and pray for three more. and just use your directory as a prayer guide. Okay? Those are your walking orders. I'll have it up here if you want to come and copy it down later. Okay, put your Bibles down. Let's pray. Lord, we're glad to be here. Your word is powerful. Your word is convicting. Lord, we need to experience courage. And so we need a timely word. We need your presence. We need to experience your pleasure, Lord, as we minister together to reach out into our community for lost people. And so we commit ourselves to that, Lord, to be a people of prayer and to be a people who open our mouths for the gospel. We say it in the name of our Savior Jesus. Amen.